this great grand world that you make such a fuss over, give your life to, spend all of your strength toward it. Solomon said it's just one great disappointment. With all that you get, he said, when you finish, you have one thing, and that's few days and full of trouble. So in this world, all of you that are trying to get ahead, I've got some good news for you. And that is, if you're willing to serve God, you can get ahead. Otherwise, the report is that all of your life is but one big disappointment. It'll be few days and full of trouble. You'll have trouble with yourself. You'll have trouble with your mind. You'll have trouble with your soul. You'll have trouble with your body, with your health, with your finance. You'll have trouble with your wife. You'll have trouble with your children. And the farther down the trail you go, the more trouble you'll have. The more trouble. The little ones will be trouble to raise. You'll dodge sickness and you'll pay doctor bills and you'll beg God not to take their life. And then when they get up bigger, you'll run around after them while the police knocks them around and throws them in jail, and you'll pay the expense of all of that, or you'll see them defiled and tore up and wrecked and ravished. So you'll have more problems. And no matter how much you get, the Bible said you'll make much. Said when you bring it home, it'll be bags with holes in it. And I'll blow on it, the Lord said, and it'll come to little. And said the bed won't be long enough for you. You can't stretch out to rest. You can't cover up with the cover in the cold weather. You just can't stay warm. And he says it'll always be something. Always you'll have trouble. It'll be few days. Few days. You know, it doesn't matter how long you live. When you look back at the end of the trail, you're going to think, my dear God, I didn't live long enough. I didn't been very long. Every one of you that's lived a number of years, which you have, look back and think how long that seems that you lived. See, just seems like a day or two, and it's all. That's the way it'll be down at the end of the trail. See, few days and full of trouble, man's life is like a vapor. It appeareth for a while and then vanishes away. And the Bible said man's life is swifter than a shuttle. You ever watch the shuttle? You ever watch the shuttle? You ought to watch it sometimes. Hit it on this end, it's like almost like the speed of light changing. And he said it's swifter than a shuttle. Soon goes by, and that's all of it. You don't have it anymore. This is why that the preacher is here. God has a preacher. And this preacher that God sends speaks God's word. He doesn't deceive you with a whole lot of promises, a whole lot of things of being a great healthy fella and having great wealth and living and relaxing and retiring and all these things. He doesn't do that. He tells you the truth, that you are a creature, few days and full of trouble. And even though he does tell you that you can have all that wealth just like Solomon had it, you can have all the things just like Solomon had it, you know, you can have it, but when you get every bit of it, it's just few days and full of trouble still. It doesn't change it at all. If you want a career in the army, you can have it, few days and full of trouble. If you want a career in the world and something else, you can have it, few days and full of trouble. Whatever you want to be, if you want to be a movie star, few days and full of trouble. If you want to be a billionaire, if you want to be a great executive, if you want to be a businessman, if you want to be a president, if you want to be a celebrity, few days and full of trouble. It doesn't matter where you're at, it's few days and full of trouble. So then the only good thing there is the Spirit of Christ, which is called the Holy Ghost. As a matter of fact, it's the only ghost that ever was holy, that ever will be holy, other than the fact that your ghost gets his ghost within it. So it's the Spirit of Christ, your hope of glory. And the Bible said that he's a comforter. In all of your problems, he's a comforter. And you need him. And that's why the preacher's there, to remind you that no matter what you do, it's few days and full of trouble, that you need to focus your mind on Jesus. You need to apply yourself toward the things of God. You need to quit running to your own house and letting the house of the Lord lay waste. And you need to correlate the family, pray, and serve God. You know, there's a great responsibility that we've got. A lot of people say, well, God doesn't use me, Brother Pike, and there just isn't anything for me to do. And I see Him using others. And I listen to that a lot of times. I hear people say that, and I think, Lord, how cruel, how evil, how wretched a person is that will take that outlook that really knows the truth. Now, if a person doesn't know the truth, it isn't required of them. And I think that's so evil, so wretched, when the Bible tells us that a sinner out yonder, a sinner now, cannot even get to God. That God can't even hear him. A sinner out there, not just the wicked, but the sinner out there can't even get to God unless you and I pray. And we are supposed to be a royal priesthood that is daily interceding for the church, the body of Christ, and constantly praying to God that God will grant repentance unto life to them that are without. For even the sinner cannot get to God, because the Bible said we know that God heareth not a sinner's prayer. So no matter how much they pray, God isn't going to hear it. But if you and I pray every day that God will grant repentance unto them that are without, then God can make a move. God can give a revival. God can cause a stirring. God can grant repentance. God can hear our prayer. And God can grant repentance to them that are without, that they may be able to call on the name of the Lord and come to the Lord. And then you say you don't have anything to do. Samuel one time said, he said, God forbid that I should sin against God by not praying for the people. Did you know that you sin against God when you don't pray for the people? That you're commanded to pray, it's not optional with you? That you're commanded to pray before God and to intercede, that was the priest's job, and we are a royal priesthood? And when you've got time to go everywhere and do everything and spend your time in the childish, foolish, unreasonable things of this world, when you're called to be a priest, a high priest of God, and you spend your time with those foolish, childish things, don't you know that God is going to set your fields on fire? Now, if you didn't know, God wouldn't do that, because it isn't required of you if you don't know. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is a sin. And when you know that you're supposed to pray for them people, that's good. And when you don't do it, that is sinning against God. And when you do that, you're going to have a hard way to go, folks. That's why some of you never get ahead. That's why you always are sick. That's why you've always got problems. Always got problems. You know, it's because you don't apply yourself to fasting. You don't apply yourself to prayer. You don't apply yourself to giving. You don't apply yourself to testifying. You don't apply yourself to try to reach anybody. And with the gospel, you don't care. You don't care if they die and go to hell. You could care less about it. And so you have problems. That's why you have problems. The young generation of young boys and girls is coming up right now. You know why they have problems? Because their mind is on passions. That's all they care about. They dress with their bodies like a harlot. Men and women alike. See? And they don't care. As long as they're doped up and high as they say, they don't care about God. They don't care about daddy. They don't care about mother. They don't care about discipline. They don't care about nothing. But God is burning their fields. And as I said the other day, the statistical report shows, so far as we know, that the youth is being killed and dying out faster than the elderly people, which is absolutely unreal. But because they're like that, God is destroying them, a sinful and an adulterous generation stuck under a television show. Over here with some magazine or some rock and roll sort of a junk here in the house somewhere, you know. And daddy, he's done got to the place to where he's afraid to take it and throw it out. Sure, I'm telling you the truth. He's got so, sister's got such a temper, she'll fly in such a rage that daddy figures he better not touch her stuff. Oh, to God that we had daddies that walked right in there in sister's face and let her spew like a Roman candle and just tear it up right before or take it and throw it in the garbage. I wish we had daddies like we used to have. Boy, I tell you what, I remember the time of daddies when they'd take a leather strap and they'd bust your hide if you didn't do what they told you to do, let alone have some junk in the house. I'm telling you the way it was. It might not have been that way at your house, but it was that way at my house. I've had my dad to leave his job, come out of the mill and leave his job, see me way off down the street, and see me two or three story building and look and see me and come out of there and come down there and bust my hide. He'd say, "You go to school." I'd think, "No, Daddy can't see me." But Daddy did see me. You know, we need to come to the place to where if Junior's going to spin his wheel and he's going to turn cartwheels and whatever, let him do it. But don't let him do it in your house. Burn the stuff up. Break the stuff up. Don't go lording around, you know, and act like a heathen. And act like some big bully and some brute beast and jump on your children. Have a little sense and talk to them and love them and show them a little kindness. And try to replace some of the evil things they got with some decent things to give them something to do. But if they're just going to be hard-headed and they're just going to be a show-out, go right in there and take it, tear it up, break it up. Be bold enough. If the devil is bold enough to walk up in your face half naked, you be bold enough to say, "Put on some clothes or go somewhere else." Oh, somebody said, "Brother Pike." Yes, that's the way I believe it right there. Had to do it numbers of times. See, if you don't stand for something, the devil will just walk over you and make a sloppy mess out of you and your house. I've seen homes that was decent homes. And I've seen men get to drinking like that boy was sitting up yonder today. You don't know what I'm talking about, but I do. You know, and I've seen men come into the homes, decent women and decent daughters. And that old sloppy drunk and that old doped up devil come over and he puts his arm around sissy, you know, and "Daddy, he's so meek and he's so kind." And I believe in being meek. Jesus was the meekest man that ever lived. And Moses was one of the meekest. You know, and he just got to hug and kiss and slop around and say his old filthy words. And "Daddy, he don't want to hurt his feeling because it's mama's relative, you know, or and it's somebody, you know, it's his brother, it's his whatever." I don't see it like that, folks. I don't see it like that. You know, Jesus was a meek man, but when he found all of that stuff in his house, he took him a whip and he popped that whip and he turned over them money tables and he showed them the door. Now that's the way I believe it right there. That's the way I believe it. All right, somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. This might sound like a strange doctrine, but it's Bible. So then I believe in being meek. I think we ought to be so meek and humble. But when it comes to the devil running over us, the Bible said be bold as a lion. You know, it says be harmless as a dove, and you should be harmless as a dove. A little dove wouldn't hurt nothing. But when it comes to standing for the things of God like Jesus, when he took that whip, be bold as a lion. And when it comes to being wise, the Bible said be wise as a serpent. And I believe that we ought to be as gentle as a lamb. I don't know how we got off on that subject. But I really feel, Brother Vince, that that's needed. You boys and you girls, you listen at Brother Pike. I'm your minister. You listen at me. Don't you go sassing around at your mom and daddy. Don't you talk back to them. You'll shorten your days by your disobedience. You run that little mouth of yours and you show off and God will take 10 years off of your life. Every time you blade out at him, God may take a year off of your life. And daddy, he may not be man enough to tell you to shut up and straighten you out. Most likely mama will. Mamas are pretty good at that. Daddy, sometimes it's sad the way they do. And I know mamas, they're pretty bad sometimes. But you say so much to mama and she don't have to be religious to tell you to shut up. But the thing is, you need to do right. You know, I had a little incident yesterday, last night. I was sitting down in the multipurpose building. The Lord spoke to me, said, "Go home. Problems." Well, I prayed that the Lord would send my Danny over couple of days before that, a day or so before that, I said, Lord, I hear you. You're saying Danny's fixing to get in trouble. A few days and full of trouble. And I said, send him over. I'll talk to him. So he come over. I talked to him. I took his keys away from him. Parked his car. That didn't do any good. But anyway, that kind of helped. The next day, I come out of the multi-purpose building. And I started out. When I did, the Lord spoke to me. And it was three or four boys sitting out there, all with long hair. I think Danny was the only one that didn't have the long hair. He's got his cut off. And the Lord spoke to him. And I sent for Danny. And Danny come in. I said, Danny, tonight, the Lord showed me that if you go off with them boys, that this very night you're going to be in trouble. I said, not another night, Danny. This night, he said, you'd be in trouble. And you'd be in serious trouble. Well, Danny got shook up because he usually listens at me, you know. And he didn't go with them. Betty said, oh, he's going with Joe. He's going with Randy. So I said, okay, Betty. So he went off with Joe and Randy. But when he got to Athens over there somewhere, here come them boys. He left Joe. He got with them boys. Hadn't the Lord got with them, from what I understand, and one of them done a cartwheel, a donut, or whatever you call it, spinning around in the road. And the police took it to be showing out whether he was or not. I don't think he had his license either. And then they done got some drink in the car too. So they picked him up. They got him. I think there was three of them then when they picked him up. My boy was one of them. Well, I went over to see what was going on, to talk to the police and whatever. And of course, Danny, he up and told him he was 17 years old, so they put him in jail. I mean, they put him behind the peephole. And Joseph come along, and Joe said, no, I said, he's not 17 years old. Well, that scared him, because to lock up a minor, you're really in problem. So they hurried in there and got him out, according to what Joe said. Well, then they sent him over to the other place. And I said, Lord, I better kind of get over there, because I know those police, you know, they're careless, unconcerned. They'll do anything. They'd been pretty rough the last time he'd run into them. And I got there just as they took Danny out of the car. I was taking him into the building. I walked into the building behind him. And one of the police is kind of startling, because I was right on his heel when he went in. And he turned around like that. He said, is this your young'un? I said, yes, that's my young'un. And kind of shook him up a little bit. And he went on down the hall. He took Danny in here. And I went over in the front and sat down. They had me sit down in the front. And I thought, now, Lord, the last time I come over here, I talked to these fellas, and I tried to be nice to them, and I humbled my heart, and I was just like a mother among children. I was so gentle with them. And I said, and they lied to me, and they kicked the boys around, and they'd done all kind of things and covered it up. And I thought, now, if they come out here with that foolishness tonight, this is their night. And sure enough, that's what they did. They come out there where I was. There's about four of them. There's about eight or ten of them in there. There's about four or five of them come out there. And this great big old policeman with a little black mustache, he started to say in some things. And actually, all they had Danny on was a charge of telling him that he was 17 years old when he was 16. And, of course, being in the car there with the drink. So this man said, your boy's got a smart mouth. I thought, well, you don't have to tell me that. I know it. But, see, the thing is, I know the boys has got a smart mouth. Some of the girls have, too. And I know the police have to do their job. And I told the police, I said, I respect the law. I know you got a job to do. But, see, the police has got a smart mouth, too. And they not only have a smart mouth, but they got a dirty mouth. And they smart off at them boys, and they curse them and call them all kind of dirty, low-down things until they provoke them boys. And them boys don't know what to do. And they shove them around, playing gangbuster, you know. They've seen so much television until they've lost their sense of reason. Well, anyway, I stood there and I listened at him for a few minutes. He said, we don't have time to play games with boys out of other towns over here. And he went on. I listened. And said, if you can't discipline, we got some places where we can send them and discipline. I'll listen. Finally, he finished. I said, I've listened to you. And I said, I've listened real reverently to you. I said, now I want you to listen to me. I said, you said what you had to say. Now I want to say what I've got to say. And I told him, I said, you know what? I said, you are the ones to blame. I said, you protect whiskey out here on the corner. I said, and you give them the protection to sell this to our children. I said, and you trouble me and you trouble the people and give them the protection to trouble us, and then you try to make it look bad on us because of our discipline. And oh, he was getting shook up then. I said, and not only that, I said, you sell them whiskey. I said, the police get some whiskey and gives them dope. I said, and that ain't all. I said, policemen plan robberies. I said, they're the ones that plan the robberies. And I went on down the line, and I told him, I said, you know, I said, I'm standing here at your judgment bar today. You're deciding. I said, but someday you're going to stand before God, and I'm going to be there, and you're going to be before God's judgment bar. And I said, and you ain't going to be in authority. I said, I'm going to be the one in authority. And he spoke up and said, oh, no, you'll never be in authority. He said, God will be in authority. I said, no, I'll be in authority. So he looked at me. And he shut up for a few minutes. And I said, besides that, there's one thing you need to know. I said, my authority is far greater than your authority. I said, you've got an authority from men to do your job. I said, but I have an authority from God. I said, God gave me this authority. And I said, and my authority far excels your authority. Of course, by then, they were quieting down, sure enough. And we went on, and I told him how I felt. And when I got through, he said, here, take your boy and go. So I took my boy and I went. But you know, I didn't want to be ugly. I didn't try to be ugly. I didn't try to be mean, but I was firm and straight to the point. And I said it in a way that he knew that I meant what I said, because I do mean it. See, it's sad to me, folks, for my boy to be like that. It's sad for your boys to be like that. But it's like I told them. I said, you know that these boys are undeveloped. I said, you know that. They're teenagers. I said, and then you put the stuff out there where they can get it and trouble us people. Well, anyway, I said, I don't like the way the world does. Somebody was standing by in shorts. I said, you see them shorts right there? I said, I don't like that. I said, I don't like that kind of dressing. I said, I don't like it. I said, I don't like the way the world does. I said, the world does like it wants to, but I said, I don't like it. I said, I like God's way and the way God said do it. But anyway, when I got through, they were so shook up till they just went on their way and, you know, they left me alone. But I said that to say this to my young folks here. Don't be like that, young folks. Don't go get yourself all mixed up with dope and get in jail and cause your dads to have to run around after you everywhere like a little old pup. You girls, don't be silly and run out there and in a protruding way and throw yourself at some man. He wouldn't want to spit on you. Did you know that? Other than just take you and abuse you and mistreat you, that's all he'd want to do is frolic with you. And then after that, he wouldn't want to spit on you. You say, oh, Brother Pike, people wouldn't do that. Have you ever read about David's son, how he abused his own sister? About the low-downest thing there is? And having different parents, many wives in that day, they were allowed to marry one another. And the girl said, you can marry me, don't do me like that. But he didn't want to spit on her after he had wrecked her life. Told her to get out. And that's the way they do you. Have a little sense. Stay away from men like that. Stop being protruding. Pray and seek God. Stop being an old harlot. Like an old slut, like an old dog. You know, that's got to stand on the street corner and got to be out yonder, you boys and girls alike. Got to be out yonder somewhere in the night like a bunch of old dogs. Ain't fit for nothing. Stop it. Get a hold of yourself and realize you're a human being, that at any time you may go to hell. Hundreds and millions of youth are dead and in hell because of that. Wrecks, whatever. They're in that kind of condition. Somebody says, oh, I hear that, Brother Pike, but there's no but about it. You're going to hell for it. Let me tell you, young boy and girl, you remember this. As long as you don't know anything about God and you've never heard anything about God as to knowing what's right and what's wrong, God's going to be merciful to you to some extent. But when you know about God and you hear about God and you still go and do those things, God is going to let the devil kill you. You're going to shorten your days by your disobedience. And you're not going to grow into womanhood or into manhood and be some great person to have some great thing in the world. You're not going to live very long. God's going to cut your days short. So then, instead of being like an old dog, try to be decent. Try to be something decent. You know, we got so many people, they throw their lives to the dogs. I said this the other day. They go out there and they throw their life to the dogs and they act like an old slut and like an old pig, an old sow in the mire. And when they get to be a barfly and they ain't fit for nothing and nobody would spit on them, then they come and say, well, I decided I want to talk about the Lord. Can you imagine that? Doing every dirty, low-down, filthy thing there is, throwing your life away, ain't fit for nothing. And then you come and say, well, I'd rather be a Christian myself. You know, folks, let me tell you something. Brother Pike's not scornful. I'm not mocking. If that's the only way you can come to God, let me advise you, come to God, even if you come like an old sow, and God has to wash you. Come to God and give Him a chance with your life. If you've already thrown your life away, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there's none good but Him. But try to do that before you throw your life away. Try to come to God. Remember the Creator in the days of your youth. The Bible said before the days of judgment come nigh. The evil day is when you won't have any pleasure in what you've done. When you have to pay for every transgression. And try to come to God before you do all those dirty, filthy things. Because when you come to God, after that you've thrown your life to the winds, once you come to God, you want to do something for God. But you can't do nothing for God. You always got a sickness. You always got a problem. You always got a heartache. You always got a financial difficulty. The devil's always in your way because you have sowed so many wild oats. You have done so many things wrong that for the rest of your entire life, when you come to God, you continue to reap. And you can't do nothing for God. It's just one sad problem right after another. And you that are serving God, turn away from that foolishness of running out in the world, being with sinners, doing the things of the world, having your mind on that that's out there in the world. Turn away from it. Stay with God. Do something for God. Get your mind off of those foolish things. Like the boy was telling me today from Houston, fine fellow. He said, I ain't never heard nothing like this from nobody in my life, from ministers and nobody else. And we went on down the line after we talked about the revelation. He acted like a starved kid. He said, well, he said, you know, I like to surf, Brother Pike. I said, well, that's fine. Come on up here. We've got some that just loves it. I said, they're from California, and that's what they did for their pastime. I said, the only thing you got to remember, I said, you got to remember that you got to wear clothes. I said, you can't go running around like that. I said, God expects you to have on clothes. And he said, well, I don't understand it, but if you say it, I accept it. I said, well, that's the way it is. He said, well, I want to come up there, Brother Pike. But see, you got to get away from those things. Somebody said, well, that's his thing. I think he ought to get away from it. But did you know he looks at your thing too? And your thing's a little bit different. But you might not go near the water. You might do something else. But he thinks you ought to get away from that too. That's your pastime. That's your frolic. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So then God is getting the church ready. God is drawing the church to Himself. God is telling us what He expects of us. God is wanting us to be holy. And God is wanting us to be pure, not only in our deeds, but in our minds. The Bible said every thought into subjection to the obedience of the Lord Jesus. And then the Lord tells us to put on the new man and then draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. Well, anyway, I want to read just a little scripture. I've been talking to you quite a bit. I was going to preach to you a little bit, and I guess I have hollered at you. Reading in chapter 9 of the book of Ezra, it says in the 10th verse, "And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments, which thou hast commanded by thy servants the prophets, saying, The land unto which ye go to possess it is an unclean land with the filthiness of the people of the lands, with their abominations which have filled it from one end to another with their uncleanness." See, the Bible says here that you're going to possess a land. And God is sending you to a land. And this land you're going to possess. But He said, remember that this people is an unclean, filthy people. Though they act like polished scholars and though they act like great people, He said, these people are an unclean people. He said, and they are a filthy people. And He said, this land that you're going to, He said, it is filled with filth from one end to another. That's why I said what I did to the officers last night. Not to insult the officers, for I have great respect for the law and for true officers. And we definitely need the law. I have great respect for true ministers. But there are unclean ministers. There are unclean officers. There is uncleanness in the land. See, this people in this church right here, where I'm talking right now, they're unclean. I know that they're unclean. You say, oh, you don't know, Brother Pike. Yes, I do. I know of some of the dirty, low-down things that they did. There's men sitting here with their wives, and their wives have done dirty, low-down things. They've done filthy things, and the men don't have enough of God to know it. They don't have enough discernment to know it. They don't understand it. There's people that I'm talking to right now. In the world today, there's hundreds of millions of people living together, man and wife. And both of them as dirty as a pig. And one don't know enough about the other to know what's going on. And besides that, they don't have to do anything. I've said so often, they don't have to do anything in their body. Their minds are dirty and filthy. Their spirits wallow in the slop all the time. See, and right here in this church, people. There's things in this church right here that I know that if the men knew, they would probably choke the women to death or beat their brains out or no, might be a killing. I don't know what they'd do. The wives and the others too. But you don't know. It's a good thing you don't know. But it's a sad thing to think that you don't know when that's your companion and you're living with them. But that's the dirty, filthy, low-down generation of today. See, the Bible said you're going to inherit a land. I'm going to make you inherit a land. But said that land is filthy. From one end to another, the Bible said it's filthy. That land is filthy. Oh, folks, it's so filthy. Sodomy, passions, stealing, murder, hatred, all of these evil things. I think about America, supposed to be America the Beautiful. And truly, America is America the Beautiful. When you look around and you see the people, people are beautiful. And you see the birds and you see the trees and you see the streams and you see the mountains. Truly, it lives up to its name, America the Beautiful. But when you see the devils and demons and you look through the eyes of God and you look at the uncleanness and you look at the filth that's in the world today and you behold all of the filth from one end of America to another and you see all the connivings and you see How that men and women have been robbed of their homes and robbed of their loved ones. And you see how that people who are murderers and liars and cheats and devils incarnate, how that they've gotten into the upper places. The Bible said that the serpent has climbed into the upper lintel. And when you see that the devil has gotten into the upper part of the world, into the upper echelon of life, and way up here in this level, devils and demons are living there and ruling over humanity, it makes everything sad. Solomon said, I've looked and in the places of judgment, I've seen corruption. Like when I was in court one time and some fellas there was being tried. I've had this happen a number of times in court. Being tried and some man got up and said, thus and thus and thus, some police officer. I said, that's not true. And before I realized it, I done spoke out in court. I said, that's not true. They said something to me. I said, well, sir, I said, I'm a minister. And I said, I hate to hear people lie. Stand and tell a lie. I said, that's twice the officers have lied to me. See, the Bible says that we are set for the defense of the gospel. And Paul said, pray that God will give me boldness to be able to speak out against these things. We've got to speak out against those things. We've got to be bold against those things. Look what would have happened here in this county where we're at. If I had not spoke up against the sheriff, if I had not spoke up against the police, if we had not had it out over and over, well, they would have overrun this place. And they would have come out here and this would have been a filthy, dirty place. I've had them to come out in their shorts. I've had them to come out with all of their dirty, filthy talk. I've had them to come out here and try to overrun this place, and I've had to meet them face to face. I've had to go up into the courthouse, had to go up into the jail, the different places. I've had to meet them face to face and have it out with them. Why is that? Because they're dirty and they're filthy and they're unclean. And they think because they're pigs and dogs that we ought to get out there and act like they do. Oh, somebody said, Brother Pike, you ought not to say that. I said, because they are pigs and dogs and they wallow in the slop and in the mire, they think we ought to get out there and do it too. The Lord said, you're going to inherit the land, but said it's a filthy place that's going to have to be cleaned up. And he said, the people in it are filthy. I believe what the Bible said, don't you? And I've told some of them to their faith how filthy they are. It doesn't mean that all sheriffs are filthy. It doesn't mean that all officers are filthy. It doesn't mean that all preachers are filthy. It doesn't mean that all people are filthy. But it does mean that some of them are filthy. Some of them are filthy. And there's enough of them that's filthy that evil communications corrupting good manners, it looks like that they're, by the thousands of the millions, they're converting them to their filth. And this is what bothers me as a preacher. And this is what bothers me when I talk to the congregation, when I talk to the people. Why don't we do something, folks? Why don't Brother Pike do more? It seems like I'm trying to do all I know to do. But it seems like I'm not doing near what I ought to do. Why don't I do more? Why don't you do more? You that are religious people, why don't you do more? Why don't you get your mind off of hunting and fishing, ball games and sports and the things of the flesh and the things of the world and get rid of that junk? Oh, somebody said, Brother Pike, you'll hurt somebody's feeling. Praise God, I hope I do. I hope I hurt somebody's feeling so bad in saying what I'm saying, and especially here at this church that I pastor, that you'll get rid of your junk and your filth and your garbage and your foolishness and either get out there with the devil or get in here with the church and get in here as the sons of God and do something for Christ. I hope it goes that deep. The Bible said, cursed is the man that holdeth back his sword from blood, and this is the sword of the Lord and the Brother Pike. The sword of the Lord and Brother Pike, in case you want to know what it is. You need to get in or you need to get out, folks. You need to get in or you need to get out. The Bible said, because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. And this is the spewing out time. And when you've got people sitting on the bench that pities the people that are in that condition, you need to be spewed out too, and your time will come. God will spew you out too, because you have feelings toward them. If you have feelings toward them, you can't have feelings toward me and God and the thing that we're standing for. You need to get rid of your filth. Jesus turned over the tables and he popped the whip and he drove them out of his house. He didn't want them in there. You know, it'd be nice if the Lord had come in today and stopped popping the whip and turning over some of the tables and driving them out. You know why he did that? Because they were beasts. Brute beasts, some of them, made to be taken and burned. And God knew that there were beasts, and he drove them out of his house. He didn't want the beast in his house. You know, that's what we need to do. We need to pop the whip and turn over the tables and let them know that they are the generation of vipers and devils that Jesus called them to be and John called them to be. And he said, "You generation of vipers," he said, "how can you escape the damnation of hell," he said, "seeing that you do these things?" Somebody said, "Brother Pine, you talk like you just don't believe in nothing." I don't, except God. The Bible said, "Bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Christ, meditate in his laws day and night." If you're doing anything else, you're out of order. "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, meditate in his laws day and night." If you're doing anything else, you're out of order. You people that call yourselves Christians and call yourself a church of the living God, and you've got pool rooms and volleyball and baseball and football and all these things, don't you know that you are a slop hole? That you're not a church? You are a slop hole. And don't you know that the people that you got are pigs wallowing in the slop and the dogs that's lapping the vomit? And don't you know that you are a reproach to the Almighty God to set you up a place and call that a church when that place is of the devil and you're teaching the things of the devil? And like I spoke of about the Pat Robinson Show and the PTL and the Oral Roberts and the Jimmy Swaggart and all these other things where they're just slopping in the mess. Slopping in it. You say, "Brother Pike, that's what I mean, slopping in it." You can't get them to teach baptism in Jesus' name, that's number one. To where the people can really call on the name of the Lord. And then they're putting up colleges and they're stripping people off and they're letting them run hurdle, jump hurdle and go half naked and everything else. That's a slop hole. And they're taking God's money to make the slop hole. Call the place Oral's got, the City of Faith. One time Oral Roberts done a great thing. He could have went on to the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus and teaching the right thing, but he didn't do it. He got with the world, he went backwards instead of forward. And now they got a slop hole they call the City of Faith. They run around half naked, jump hurdles, and do all the dirty, filthy things that you can imagine. And they call that the church. And Jimmy Swaggart is falling in the same way. And the television stars are falling in the same way. Preachers, PTL Club. Jim Baker talking about this being a great society of today and a great church of today. And the church is modern. It's got to come up to date. And he's built a slop hole in the Carolinas. He's getting money for it because the world loves its own. Oh, somebody said, "Brother Pike, you just ought not preach like that." Well, I'm preaching like that, folks. Whether it's right or wrong, the Bible said the preparation of the man's heart is from God. So he prepared it. So then what are they setting up? Are they setting up works of God? They're not setting up works of God. They're setting up pig pens. That's why Jesus took the whip, turned over the tables, and drove the people out. It is a slop hole. It is making people twofold more the child of hell than they was to begin with. If they'd have left them alone, some preacher sent from God could have told them the right thing. You know, I can look back and respect some of the Baptists, some of the Methodists, and even some of the Pentecostal churches that came up. I can look back and respect it because they did all they knew to do. They taught all they knew because that's all they had. God honored what they had, and there was revival and there was healing. And there was the great, wonderful things of God that took place. But now movements have come down to know the right thing and won't do it. And the saints of God have been driven out, died out. What the great leader stood for had been rejected. And now they've got a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And they've raised up a bunch of pig pens. And they're causing the people to be deceived and tore up. And they're coming together as a charismatic bunch of people, talking about praising God. The Bible said praise is comely for the upright. They don't need to praise God. They don't need the praise of God in their mouth. They need to clean their souls and clean their mouth. Praise is comely for the upright. So then they're coming together, not with the gospel, not with the truth. It's money. The Bible said the Laodicean, lukewarm bunch of people, having name that they live when they're nothing but a pig pen, they're dead. Jesus said, having this name that they live, He said, and they're doing all these things, lukewarm, saying, we're rich, we're increased with goods, we have need of nothing. Knowing not, Jesus said, that it's a pig pen, that they're wretched, naked, blind. He said, you're going to inherit a land. I'm going to take you to a land, and you're going to inherit. He said, but, He said, I want to tell you something. It's filthy from one end to the other. And there's a filthy people. You're going to have to clean it. God's going to have to change it. He's going to have to purge it. He's going to have to put it back as it was in the days of the garden. You say, Brother Pike, this is mighty strong, the things you're saying. Let me tell you something, folks. A translation is at hand. The day star is dawning, and God's calling His people. And God is tired of this half-hearted bunch of hypocrites that keeps interfering with the move of God. It's like the Brother Branham following. It's split up in splinters, gone every way. Nobody won't hardly listen to nobody. Their leader's gone. Now they've turned that into just one thing and then another and fussing and arguing. And people call me from the Brother Branham following. A number of people come to me from the different phases of it in the different groups and say, we don't know what to do. They got the thing so confused. We don't know what to do. Now, do you believe that Brother Branham done that? Do you believe that Brother Branham taught that? Was the people like that when they followed the man? Was they like that when they followed the great leader that established the Church of God? The great leader that established the Baptist Church and the Methodist Church, men like John Wesley, they didn't have that kind of garbage. They didn't have that kind of evil. They didn't have that kind of doing. Pentecostal churches with ball games and bathing suits and swimming pool and Jim Baker talking about $1 million swimming pool up there, a fountain, some kind of waterfall. 5 million people, I believe they said, went last year. And of course, this report might not be true about the money, but somebody said he took in $2.5 million last year, which I don't know. The world loves its own. I don't doubt but what he did. I know Roberts was taking in somewhere around 100 million, a little under 100 million. He was leading the way of Preacher Humbard and all the rest of them. He was ahead of them, but Jim looks like he's jumped out front. I don't know. But I do know one thing. What he's doing is not of God. And I know that I wrote him a letter of warning, and I wrote his wife a letter of warning, and I wrote Pat Robinson, and I told Pat Robinson how dirty and low down it was, the things that he was doing, mixing the garbage he was mixing with the gospel. And I know this one thing. I know it. All of a sudden it shows up that Pat's fixing to run for president. I told my wife, I said, it's a political thing. And I know all of a sudden that Jim changes the whole show from praise the Lord and takes the Lord out of it altogether and puts it people who love. And it's gone on into this wild thing. And I told some of them in my tent meeting in the Carolinas, I said, he's going to fall for that. You watch and see. Oh, somebody said, Jim Baker will never fall. I said, you watch and see, he'll fall. And I understand the last program he had, or just recently, they said that here Jim come out in his bathing suit, and he had his program this time in his bathing suit. Or in his shorts. I beg your pardon, it wasn't a bathing suit. They said in his shorts. See, what is it? It's a pig pen, that's what it is. Taking millions upon millions of dollars and building those things. And somebody said, you shouldn't get upset, Brother Pye. Why shouldn't I get upset? I'm a son of God. I own all of this.
Hallelujah.
I own it all. All of it belongs to me. And I don't want people playing around with it and messing around with it and keeping it filthy. I'd like to run an abstract and get the squatters off of my land. I'm here in my father's behalf. And my father don't like it. And my father and I are one. I don't like it either. So then, what is it? They need to straighten up. People at Bethlehem need to straighten up. They need to stop their foolishness. They played around like a bunch of kids. And I don't mean that toward my babies. I don't mean that toward my little ones in Christ. I don't mean that toward them that Jesus said, feed my lambs. I don't mean that toward them. But I'm talking about grown up people hugging and kissing on one another's wives and husbands when they ain't around. And getting down in the filth and in the scum. And got to be with somebody that's out there in the pig pen all the time. Can't find no fellowship with God. Can't find no fellowship with the brethren. They got to get with people that's in the pig pen. And they've got to get out there with the people that's in the world. Get with the evil and the rottenness of their conversation. And they say, I'm oppressed and I'm cast down and I got a problem. You got a problem, all right. You give place to a devil and you bound like the fly in the web. You've got a problem, all right. And that is, you won't live right and you won't pray and you won't seek God and you won't stand up and be a real man of God and you won't stand up and be a real woman of God. Like I told some of them the other day, I said, you come around and you say, Brother Pike, I want you to use me. Brother Pike, do this. Can I do this, Brother Pike? And I look at your spirit and you don't want to do nothing. You just want to ring in my ears with that foolishness and deceive me and hypocrite around. And I pray in my heart. I say, oh Lord, get this hypocrite out of here. Move him away from me before he drives me out of my mind. Folks, that's some folks here at Bethlehem as well as others that's hearing my voice. You don't want to live right. You love darkness rather than light because your deeds are evil. You'd rather spew off and get upset. You'd rather lust. You'd rather run after the things of the world. You'd rather have money. You'd rather have convenience. You'd rather have comforts of the world. That's what you'd rather do. That's what's wrong with the police. The police would rather be a snake in the grass. Lay like a snake in the grass. They won't get after people that needs to be taken care of. They won't go after the real gangsters and the real problem. They're afraid of them. A bunch of sissies. Afraid. Men of God in the days of David took a troop, took a sword, said to run through a troop and leaped over a wall. But we got a bunch of sissies today. You know what they do? They run around playing gangbusters, running around after our children. Running around after our wives, stopping them out on the corner, saying you're speeding, so they can get them out there and talk to them and go through their filth. Like I said about the dentists, I said they better watch them because they're taking the woman into this room and they're taking the man in this room and they're sending the woman in with the man and they're sending the man in with the woman. I said it's dirty, it's filthy. And then you come to find out how that they was giving them shots. And how they were playing with their bodies. Going over their bodies. They caught them doing it. Doctors doing the same dirty low-down thing. One doctor even run off with another man's wife after an examination. Dirty, filthy. I had a vision one time. I thought I'd go to a dentist. I had a little place where I wanted to feel. Thought I'd run up and get it filled. And I had a vision. And in the vision, I saw this woman. And she was determined to take advantage of me. I saw her dressed in yellow. I thought, now, Lord, I want to be clean. If I want to be a pig, I'll go out there and get with the pigs. I won't stay around your house and live a dirty, low-down, hypocritical life and deceive my brethren. I'll just go out there with the filthy if I'm going to be filthy. But all my life I want to be clean, even down to the intents and thoughts of my heart. Ever since I've been a Christian and on the Lord, really understood the thing.
So I went to the dentist.
Sure enough, here comes this woman. And I hadn't no more sat down in the chair before I looked up. And I thought, dear God, that's that woman in that vision. But I went there fasting. And when I saw that, I said, oh my God. I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I want her stopped right now. And God just let something come over her that just bound her to where she just couldn't be the frivolous little woman that she wanted to be. And every way that she'd start, God would stop her. See, the Lord will help us if we want Him to help us. But it's like I said about the vision where I saw the woman in the slime pit. A lot of times somebody says, oh, brother, I need you to talk to me about Jesus. It would be good if your wife wasn't here. I could understand it better. Wife, you ain't got enough sense to go to town and back by yourself when you're like that. That's going to hit somebody. But I want to repeat that. I said, if you will let your husband do that, you ain't got enough sense to go to town and back. Thank God for some women that's got enough boldness that they will go to their husbands and they'll say, let me tell you something. If you're going to play around with her, you ain't going to live with me. And thank God for some men that will say, if you're going to frolic and run all over town and that's all you're ever going to do, and you're never going to be anything but a frivolous little flirt, you ain't going to live with me. It's all right to talk to men and women. You're supposed to. You have to. And if there was an occasion where I had to, as God, I would. But the Lord works it to where men and women that are married can be together. Somebody said, but now, Brother Pike, remember Jesus at the well. Sure enough, I do remember him. There he was, just him and her. Sure was. And there she was, just a walking harlot, a prostitute, trying her best to deceive him the way she had to rest. There she was. Jesus said, call your husband. Oh, I don't have a husband. The same harlot spirit that she'd use on all the rest. But Jesus was too shrewd for that. Oh, he said, you've had husbands. He said, you're playing the harlot right now. He didn't use that term. He said, the one you're with right now, not your husband. Then she got straight. Then she straightened up. Then she began to realize something was going on. And besides that, Jesus was single to start with. Though he was a man, he was single to start with. He was married to start with. So you need to get it all together in the right way. And you need to realize that Satan has traps laid everywhere. Satan has traps. Folks, listen to me. I wouldn't lie to you. I'm telling you the truth. You can't realize how dirty and filthy folks get right in the church, right on the campground. I mean dirty and filthy. That's what stirs me up so. And they sit right in your midst and hug your neck and kiss you on the cheek and you feel that everything's all right. And to think that a woman would be so dirty and low down that she would undermine her husband. And that he would be so dirty and low down that he would undermine her. It's no wonder God said, I'll burn this generation with fire. An adulterous, sinful adulterous generation. Little old sassy girls and boys that ain't hardly out of their diapers. Hollering and screaming, I'm going to have a car. I'm going to do this. I'll pitch a fit. I'll leave home. I want my own apartment. God have mercy on your wretched souls. Daddy needs to turn you over his knee and take a belt and bust you good. How much? Oh, they're too big, Brother Pike. I don't know. They wasn't too big when Jesus got the whip. And he said, follow in my steps. So then, I feel like this, folks. When I look around and I see men before me and I see women before me in meetings across the nation and I pick up their spirits and I see them doing each other that way, it just tears me up because you know what I want to do? I want to go right to that man and tell him just how rotten that woman is. Or I'd like to go to that woman and tell her just how rotten that man is. But you can't do that. You'll wreck a home, little children. You'll tear things all to pieces. You can't do that. Like Brother Branham got upset one time and he said, I'm going to stop some of this filth from coming across my pulpit or my platform. And so then when one popped up, he looked at the woman and he told her, he said, you've been cheating on your husband. He said, you ain't been doing right. He said, you need to go tell him. And it tore the woman up and the woman said, I can't. Brady, kill her or whatever. He said, no. He said, you just go tell him. He said, he's been cheating on you too. And said, if he won't accept it, I'll tell him the woman in the car that it all took place in. To stop it. See, when you're cheating on your husband, a lot of times you don't know that he's cheating on you. When we're cheating on your wife, you don't know that she's cheating on you. You got it covered up and you think you're real shrewd, but she's got it covered up and she's real shrewd too. Somebody said, are you trying to make us suspicious one of another, Brother Pop? I'm trying to make you suspicious of the devil. And you know what your problem is? You're hypocriting around. You won't live for God, neither one of you. And that's why you have the problem you have. You wouldn't have that filthiness if you'd live for God. But as long as you reproach God and you're in and out and up and down and doing these things, won't do right, then brother, you're going to have trouble. All right. I've said what I feel to say. I said, well, Brother Pike, you've had it. Well, praise God. If that's what it takes for me to have it, I'm looking forward to it. So then it's time that the church world got straightened out. It's time that these churches that great men started in moves of God shook themselves and run them devils out of the pulpit that they call preachers and stop hatching men off out of college and get somebody that God has called to preach the gospel and let them preach the old time gospel. And time to purge out the church and be a new lump and get rid of the old leaven. And it's time that all of these churches that's come to this day of this charismatic mess that they got going, that they get away from that thing. And men and women reject that thing. It's going into the Catholic Church. And the Pope's putting his blessing on it because all of it's a mess. And it's going into the tribulation, and God said, our children are adulterous children, and I'll burn them in with fire. I'll cast them into a bed of adultery, and I'll burn them with fire, Jesus said. Fire and brimstone. So then, it's time that the churches got straightened out and stopped their filth and stopped their garbage, stopped their wrongs, and it's time that people especially at Little Bethlehem quit their playing around and stop their childishness. Stop rebelling against me. Openly rebelling against me. Trying to rebel against me. To show everybody, bless God, I won't do it. But I'll tell you something. You can say bless God all you want to, but God's going to burn your fields. And he's going to turn you upside down. And he's going to cause you problems like you never had in your life. It's coming. It's coming. Problems and problems and more problems and problems. So you need to get straightened out, folks. I'm telling you because Jesus sent me to tell you. I'm telling you, as Brother Branham said, nail the board on so the wind don't get it. Somebody said, well, couldn't you just kind of easy like say, don't do that? They don't know that kind of talk. They don't understand that kind of talk. They're used to a billy stick. They're used to handcuffs. They're used to being knocked around. They're used to wrestling. They're used to boxing. They're used to football, breaking the collarbone, baseball, running and turning flips. They want to be tough. You know, they're movie stars. All of their wild doings. Well, I don't feel tough. I don't feel tough. There's one thing about it. God's doing something. It's like some shoes. Something happened the other night as to concerning a pair of shoes. Richard the Jew. Brother Gary bought me some like it today. They're called tough. But on the inside, it's got the word like breathe or breather. Nice cushioned soles. So then, to be bold as a lion, harmless as a dove, wise as a serpent. Folks, I'm telling you from my heart, the games in the churches are over. Ball games and all the foolishness, it's over. Games in your home and on the campground is over. Games and playing religion is over. The silliness and the foolishness that you're doing and trading the holy, godly things for these things and trampling over these things, over the blood of Jesus, them days are over. God is going to put the fire to you. And I'm telling you this because you need to know. I'm not in harmony with Pat Robinson, and I am not in harmony with Jim Baker, and I'm not in harmony with Oral Roberts, and I'm not in harmony with Jimmy Swaggart, and I'm not in harmony with all the rest of them that do those things. I am against them. I'm against the evil things that they're doing. As to the good that God's doing is His allowance, I'm for it. Whether the gospel be preached for contention or otherwise, nevertheless, they're talking about Jesus. I'm for that. But otherwise, I'm against the whole thing. Let's stand together. I don't like to hypocrite around, and I don't like to make you think I'm standing for one thing. You know, and somebody said, well, Brother Pike, he's in there with them. He just don't say nothing about him, you know. Somebody said it'll dwarf my ministry. You know, if I say anything about those things, you know, Brother Pike, he doesn't say anything about it because he, you know, he don't really go along with them. But there's no but about it. That's where I stand. Jesus didn't have no in-between. Jesus didn't have no fellowship with the Pharisees and scribes. He told them what they were. Somebody said, you can't speak against things like that, Brother Pike. Well, Jesus did. He said, Pharisees, scribes, said, you hypocrites, you generation of vipers. That was the church of that day. It says, you sit in the seat of Moses and you don't do right. All these other people, you cause them problems. Like Paul said, you whited wall, you set to judge me after the law and smite me contrary to the law. Supposed to be the high priest. Like John said, you men over there that's prating against the church and the people. It won't do right. He said, when I come, he said, I'll find you and I'll remember you. And Paul said, do you want me to come with the rod or do you want me to come in the spirit of meekness? The minister has the power to bless. He has the power to curse. My life means little to me. So far as my life, I enjoy my life and it means a whole lot to me. So far as preaching the gospel and doing something for God. Means a whole lot to me. I would love to do it forever and ever with Jesus. Love to take care of my little family, help get them out of problems. But it's like I told Betty last night. I said, Betty, I hate my life. I said, I hate it. And I do. My life means very little to me. You know, other than for Jesus. And the Bible said, unless you hate your life, for my sake, you can't be my disciple. He said, you can't be my disciple anyway. If you love your life and you're having a good time in it, and you're enjoying the things of the world, you can't be his disciple anyway. He said, you got to come to me and hate your life for my sake. And I do. It's corrupt. It's evil. All of life is corrupt and evil. And I don't want any part of it. I love to tell about Jesus. I want to tell the truth. It matters little to me what they do to me. I'm not brave, and I certainly don't enjoy pain. And I wouldn't be a great hero if somebody come to give me a beating over the head. But you know, it don't matter to me. If I go today, that's okay. If I go tomorrow, still don't matter to me. I could care less about it. The thing I'm interested in is doing His will and telling the truth and being sure that I stand against sin and corruption and all them that stand for it. Folks, you remember what I'm telling you. The Bible speaks of fornication and it speaks of those evil and it speaks of the love of the world. If it's in you, the love of the Father is not there. And the Bible said, as I've told you before, I tell you again, they that do those things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So be sure that your faith will never be there to translate you into the marvelous kingdom of God. You'll never get into it. You may be religious, you may get in the rain, whatever. You know, we've been talking about Revelation for a long time. I don't guess I've preached to you in a good long while. But God is doing something. My heart is so filled with revelation until the abundance is so tremendously great. But when corruption comes into the church and men and women in the very church and on the campground or wherever you go in the religious walk of life do the filthy things that they do, it's time to do a little preaching. Okay, let's sing a chorus together. Well, this is Brother Pike. You won't never be very popular. Well, in that I'm not looking for popularity, it doesn't matter. I don't trouble. I didn't come to get popularity and fame, prestige. I could have done all of that. I know how to compromise. I know how to get with all the boys. They've stuck their scepter out to me, but I didn't want it. The Bible says concerning people that love God, because thou hast loved righteousness, then God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows, because thou hast loved righteousness. Righteousness and true holiness. Even God, who is the Spirit of holiness. Okay, let's sing a song together, can we? Down at the cross where I first saw the light, the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Do you love Jesus? Do you love righteousness? Do you love holiness? Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to do right? Then get in line, folks. Get in line. Let's stop playing games and get in line. Sing it again. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. I know you don't like sin. I don't like sin. Elijah didn't like Jezebel. He didn't like her. He didn't like her way at all. We're living in a Jezebel age. I want to love the Lord and I want to be clean and holy, and I trust that you do. Speaking of Elijah, if nothing happened, we'll probably be going down to Elijah Park on Tuesday night. I probably won't go Monday. I'll probably be at the men's meeting unless the Lord deals with me different. But Tuesday night, we'll probably go down. You're welcome to go down if you like. It's just a little church there. Brother Fulton will be preaching, so far as I know. I was just going down. For what I understood of it is the Lord having spoke to me before Brother Collins contacted me. And then, of course, Brother Collins wanted us to come down. He's a real nice fellow. And I'd like to meet Brother Fulcher. Something's happening. Never have bothered to try to meet him before, but I feel like the Lord's wanting me to meet him. Right now, he's kind of pulled away from the Brother Branham following to the extent he can't go along with him with some things. Brother Carroll has also done the same thing. As a matter of fact, I believe Judy was telling us today that Brother Cantrell and Brother Carroll and Brother Red and some of the others are getting together. They're going to preach some together somewhere. Can you sing that one more time? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Come into my heart, oh, come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in Tuesday. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. You know, folks, anything that's holy, anything that's honest, anything that's good, anything that's true, anything that's pure, anything that's virtuous. Paul said, think on these things. It's all right whether they be on TV, whether they be in the newspaper, whether they be on the signboard, wherever it's at. Think on these things. Let your mind dwell on these things. But be honest, be straight, be true, be godly, be pure, be virtuous. Whatever you do, do the right things so that the Lord can bless you. You know, we've got people here that you're not too far from the crossing, you know it. You're not too far from the crossing. Oh, somebody said, you don't think I'm that old, Brother Pike. No, I'm not talking just about old folks. Young folks make the crossing too. Did you know that? Said young men's hearts would fail them for fear of looking after those things to come upon the earth. Pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape those things, even the judgments of the Lord. Somebody had a night vision the other night that one of the men standing right here in his church had a heart attack. One of the young men. Somebody had a vision that another man standing right here in this church, that a car fell on him and crushed him. As far as I know, killed him. Somebody had a vision that another man here comes to this church right here. A vision, a car fell on him, crushed him, and killed him. Somebody had another vision that one man standing right here got so depressed and tore up, he stepped out back of his trailer, took a gun, blowed his brains out. Folks, I'm talking about at home. This is just a few of the visions. On and on and on they go. See, don't ever get the idea that this is way off. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to save you. I'm trying to reach you. I love you. And that's why I tell you what I do about the PTL Club and all these kind of things. I don't want you to get mixed up in that. And I want you to know just how dirty and filthy it really is. I don't think there's any... Let me tell you this. I don't think there's anything that's any more dirty and filthy than a man that'll use religion, talk about the praises of God, and talk about the love of God, and then get down in the slop hole with the dogs and pigs. The vomit. I think that's the dirtiest, low-down thing there is. A man that's out here that don't know nothing about God, that's just rotten. He don't know nothing about God. He ain't been told nothing about God. My heart kind of goes out to that fellow because he don't know. And God don't require it of him. Even though you can't just go on, do nothing. The Bible said that servant that knew not to do his Lord's will will be beaten, but with few stripes. But you that know to do the will of the Lord, the Bible said, if you don't do it, you'll be beaten with many stripes. My heart goes out to them out there that don't know and don't understand. Even the old drunk, the old harlot, Jesus. The old harlot, Jesus said, if you're so righteous, speaking of the bunch of hypocrites, he said, you cast the stones, bunch of religious hypocrites. Wasn't but one man that was right that was standing there. It was Jesus. He was the only one that could have fulfilled the law of Moses. The only one that was right to the point that he could have stoned the woman, and he gave her mercy. See, I can understand that. But people that are in the church and been in the church for years, and they're getting more and more into the things of the world and going back into the slop hole and misleading people and standing at the door and won't go in and hindering the others, sitting in the seat of the scornful, standing in the way of sinners. I tell you, my heart burns like fire and my sword is red with blood for them folks. So then, I love you. I want to help you. I'll do anything I can to help you. But it's time to get on one side or another. It's time to make a decision. It's time to stop your foolishness. God's going to put you out or put you in because He's getting the church ready now. And it's going to be a church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. And God is getting that church ready. And the Bible said in that day there'll be so few when I get through purging until a little child can number them. Little flock, He said, few there be that find it. When I get through purging, He said, it'd be so few, the trees of God, that a little child shall be able to number them. All right, bow your heads with me. I can tell that many of you are getting harder and harder and harder. Not hard the way that you would think, you know, not hard like the world in their way, but hard to the extent that you're more carnal-minded, more natural-minded, more complacent, more willing just to eat, sleep, drink, make money, have your little nook. Hard and harder to the extent that you're just settled in those things. No drive for fasting, for praying, for studying. No drive for trying to fulfill the will of God, growing the grace and knowledge of the Lord. No drive to try to do anything especially for Christ or extra for Christ. Not even keeping up with your regular pace. See, harden not your heart as they did in the days of the provocation in the wilderness when they provoked the Lord and God destroyed thousands of them. See, and you're getting harder and harder. That is set in your ways. Just in your old natural doings. Father from the Spirit. Father from the revelation. Father from the things of God. Right at the time when you needed to be head over heels in these things. Paul said, I would that you were spiritual. So here we are. I love you. I want to help you. I'm not scolding you. If you're living for God and you love the Lord and you're walking upright, you should take no offense. Because I've not said anything against you nor any holy, godly person that's living. But I have preached against the dogs and the pigs, and especially when they start building pens for them in the church. And the Bible said, don't bring the price of a dog into the church. And they herd the dogs in like a herd of cattle, and the pigs, they run them through the temple. The Bible said they had all kind of things, animals, everything, running them through the temple. And in this day we're living in, they're running all kind of things through the temple. Folks, this is for sons of God. This is for the daughters and sons of the Lord. This is God's house. You wouldn't want pigs in your house. You wouldn't want some people live with dogs. I know that, but I don't want dogs in my house. So we love you, and we want to help you. I want to tell you what's right, but I can tell that even though I've said all these things, many of you are still without the gates. Many of you are still on the outside. Many of you still aren't in the things of Christ. And you're not in the reach of the Lord. You're outside. I can tell you're outside. I can feel it just as good. You're outside. I'm sorry. But without the gate is whoremongers, liars, cheats, murderers, they that love and make a lie. All of them are without the gates. Jesus, being made sin, suffered without the gates, suffered for you, suffered for you. Folks, listen at me. It's like I was telling my wife the other day about somebody. I said, if they don't listen, their home's going to be split to pieces. I said, I done seen it coming. And listen at me, your home's going to be split up. Some of you right here in the sanctuary, your home is going to be split up. Some of them's already been split up because they wouldn't listen. You're trusting in the arm of flesh. You think your wife is so good. I tell you, overnight, she can become a monster. And her husband can too.
overnight when the Spirit of God lifts and leads them into temptation, delivers them into temptation, withdraws from them, it'll be a horrible, hideous thing. So, like a man David was telling me about it today, went to buy some land from somebody. Told how this man was down skiing. He left to ski, left to surf, whatever they call it. Fell down, they come back to pick him up. They run over his foot, cut it off, mangled him. He was telling David today, I lived with a wife for 20 years or more. Said I had one of the finest wives. And overnight, the way he told it, like that, she was gone. Down in Appalachia, Florida, I tried to talk with a man down there. Smart, arrogant, lifted up. Though he respected me, he listened to me talk about Jesus. But his mouth was filthy. I tried to talk to him, he wouldn't listen. Went long, fire hit his house, burned his house down. His wife left him, run off and left him. And married somebody else, and he just couldn't get a hold of it. He thought he was the man. He had all the answers. You remember what I'm telling you. When you forsake God, the Bible said your wife will become a prostitute. The Bible says that it will happen to you when you forsake God. Unless that woman is a godly person, you're in trouble. And a lot of times, even following Christ, you being the strength to her. The Bible said, for if you forget me and turn away from me, that this will happen. I'll tear you into pieces, he said. If you forget God, I'll spew you out of my mouth. While you've got your heads bowed, I would ask Brother Gary Jonah, if he will, to come up and pray. While you're standing here, think it over, folks. Every transgression, the Bible said, must be paid for. Every transgression. If the angels, who are greater in power and might, couldn't get by with their wrong, and the Bible said they received a just recompense of reward for every transgression, how shall ye escape? If ye neglect so great salvation. While Brother Gary comes to pray with you, I want you to think it over. This is two sermons today that we've tried to deliver to you. Tried to talk to you. Tried to bring you a little revelation this morning. And tonight tried to tell you about the filthy land, how it has to be purged, and the filthy people that God spoke to Ezra about. And that you're nearer to that land now to take it, and they've defiled it. The kingdoms of this world must become the kingdoms of our God and of Christ, and we must clean it up. We must preach against it. And the first thing that we do, judgment starts in the house of God. We need to come against this Jim Baker show, PTL things, and all these other things that people are just pouring into by the hundreds of thousands and sitting around watching them. Don't go to church. Don't want to do nothing. Accepting that as being God. Following after that thing while they lead them to the falls or lead them to the slaughter.